Hey guys, welcome to Heist and Slice, a true crime podcast where one week we talk about a heist and the next week we talk about a slice. Today's a heist, which means it's Shelby's turn. I'm Nora.
And I'm Shelby. And so this week we're doing a heist. Also, I was listening to our past podcast and noticed a few things. First, I mispronounce a lot of words.
Mispronounce?
A lot of words. A lot. It's ridiculous.
It's okay, I do too.
Also, there are times when I'm doing the podcast and Nora asks me a question and I completely ignore her. And not because I'm ignoring her, but because I just don't hear her because I'm so in the zone. So.
I don't really recognize it. Just one time or two.
And I also get on Nora a lot about the timeline. So I'm going to not do that as much.
Brooke says I'm your bitch.
Yeah. Brooke says I'm too aggressive with it. But anyway, okay. So we're going to do a heist.
A heist-a-rooney?
Yes. And so we're going to talk about Jack Roland Murphy, and he got the nickname Murph the Surf, and there's a good chance I'm going to say Murph the Smurf, but it's Surf.
Murph the Surf.
Yes, but I'm probably going to say Smurf.
I like his name, period. Jack Murphy, that's a strong name.
Jack Roland Murphy.
Oh, Roland. That's a really strong name. You'd think he would be in business.
So, he was born May 26, 1937 in Oceanside, California. He was an only child. His father worked as a lineman for a telephone company, and he enjoyed surfing and playing the violin.
So that's why he got Murph the Surf.
Yeah.
Because he liked surfing.
He did. Okay. He liked surfing. When he was in high school, he moved to Pittsburgh with his family. He played violin with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra.
Can't you play the violin? Did you ever learn?
No.
Oh. Your mom wanted you to, though, didn't she?
No.
Oh. Maybe I thought that was you. I wanted to learn to play the violin. I can't read music. And no, I can't play by ear.
You're too far from your mic.
Am I now?
You're good now.
Okay.
Okay, so in 1955, at the age of 18, he moves to Miami and works at hotels. And he would steal jewelry with friends and smoke dope. And everyone knew him as Murph. And he was kind of a ladies' man. And he taught tennis lessons and swimming lessons and had a bunch of fake IDs. So he was kind of like...
So this guy's kind of fancy almost.
Yeah. Okay. He was known around town.
Gotcha. I mean, you play the violin.
Like the Murph.
Your swimming
the
coach.
Smurf. Yeah. Oh, shit. The Surf. Murph the Surf. In 1957, he met Gloria Sostick. I don't think I'm saying her last name right. Don't look at my notes.
I can't even read upside down.
They had two kids together before divorcing in 1962. And he eventually remarries again and opens up a surf shop. But then that wife divorces him as well.
We can't keep
a
woman.
And then Gloria and the two kids leave. Like, they don't have any contact. She takes the kids and leave.
Oh.
So they're not in his life.
You think maybe he just wasn't... I mean, something was up.
He was a ladies' man.
Something was up.
He wanted all the ladies.
All the ladies.
And then he also meets a man named Alan Kunh, which I don't think I'm saying that last name right. K-U-N-H. No, sure. K-U-H-N. Kunh. He was also one of the people that was stealing jewelry and stuff like that. And they were pretty good
at it. So are they stealing jewelry from places or from the hotel, like when people check in? Because you said he was working at a hotel.
Oh, from houses. Like,
oh, okay.
People's houses.
Okay.
He would steal jewelry from.
So he was doing petty theft.
Yes. And then in October 1964, Murph is 27, and him and Alan go to New York. And while they're in New York, they're also doing some petty theft,
right.
Breaking into houses, stuff like that. And then they go to the American Museum of Natural History, and they go through the gym hall. And in it, they have the Star of India, which is a 563-carat sapphire, the size of a golf ball. And they have the Eagle Diamond and a big giant ruby.
What's the Eagle Diamond? Do you know?
It was not the biggest diamond, but the biggest diamond found in the U.S.
Oh.
At the time.
Hmm.
But not the biggest diamond altogether.
Can you imagine having that rock on your finger?
No, I think it was like, I had it somewhere, 16 carats maybe.
Break your hand.
It's somewhere later on in my notes. I think I wrote down how many carats it was. But,
So they go there.
So they go there, and they realize there's a lot of flaws in the security system. So they had budget cuts, so they cut the staff. So they have eight
security... The museum
security,
did?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have eight security guards for a 18-building museum complex. ventilation was really bad, so they had windows cracked that they left cracked open all the time. And because of the budget cuts, they had an alarm system, but it was never activated.
What year was this?
1964.
Okay.
And so...
Security wasn't up to par like it is today, right?
No. Like, they had no alarm system. They didn't have the window shut at night. They had 8 guards for an 18-building complex. Gotcha. And so they're like, hey, let's rob this Easy Pickens Museum. Let's do it. So on October 29th, 1963, Allen and Murph get into the museum through the open windows because they were already open. They have a guy on the outside being a lookout, Roger Clark. And then while Murph and Allen is in there, they fucking ransack the place. They break open every jewelry case. They take everything they can get. The Star of India, the Eagle Diamond, and the Big Ruby, plus 20 other gems. And at the time, it was $400,000, which is $3 million today.
Oh, my God.
That they got away with.
The pockets were heavy.
But 2 days later, they were arrested at a hotel. They didn't have the gems on them, but they were charged with first-degree burglary.
Burglary?
Yes. And possession of
burglary
tools. And then they got free on bail, and they returned to Miami. And months later, a prosecutor charged Murphy and Allen with other robberies and the assault of actress Eva Gaber, which is the Green Acres actress.
Green Acres is the place for me.
And so the bail was raised, and the men were in jail. They couldn't afford bail to get out. So in April 1965, all three plead guilty, and they served 3 years on Rikers Island in New York with hard labor.
Oh, with hard labor.
Yeah.
You think they broke up rocks?
I don't know. I don't know what hard labor is.
I'm pretty sure that's what prisons used to do.
Is it?
They used to have people break up rocks.
I feel like you should know this. You're the slicer. You do the slice podcast.
Oh, well, slice people, they get... They 9 times out of 10 they get death penalty or they're for life. They don't work.
They don't work. They don't get that hard labor.
They don't get that. They set their ass in jail.
Oh, okay. This heist did inspire a film called Murph the Surf in 1975. And he also wrote a book about it. Murphy did wrote a book mm-hmm. about it, and you can read it if you want to pay $750 to read it.
What?
Yeah.
Is that his price?
$750 on Amazon to read this book. So
you sure it's not $7.50?
No, $750.
Why?
I guess they didn't make a lot of copies of it.
Shit.
So the Star of India was recovered in a Foot Locker in Miami bus station. Most of the other gems had been recovered as well, but the Eagle Diamond has not and is thought to have been cut down into smaller diamonds. And it was a 16-carat diamond. So that's gone.
That's hurtful. That hurts. It's vanished. So, you know what? If you have a diamond ring, you could have a piece of the Eagle Diamond and not even know it.
Yeah, you could.
That's pretty fascinating, actually. It is. Think about it.
But yeah, it was big news. Like,
so did they stop there?
No.
Oh, okay.
But you can look this up and actually watch like court footage because it was a big deal when it came out.
Oh, I'm sure, because it's probably like one of the first that we've seen that they've seen at this time.
Well, because Murph the Surf was such a popular person and such a ladies' man.
Is he attractive?
His younger days, he wasn't bad looking.
I'm going to look him up.
Don't look him up yet.
Okay, I won't.
I'll look him up and show you a picture.
Okay. You don't want me to see what's going on.
All the stuff that's gotcha. Going on
gotcha.
There.
Gotcha.
So, I'll show you a picture of him. He wasn't bad looking. There's a young picture of him.
Let me see. Oh, he's not. He's actually, like, back in those days, like, movie star good looks, you know?
Yeah. He often, people kind of compared him to, like, the great value version of
James Bond. Oh, yeah. Oh, I was thinking James Bond, like, yeah. the earlier versions.
The great value version of Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
Okay, so now we're going to go into 1967 and Miami. He's 30 years old.
Gosh, so by the time he's 30, he's done, had 2 children, 2 wives. They were all gone. Robbed, a museum.
Oh, he also won, I guess I skipped this in my notes, but he also won two surfing competitions in 1992, or 1962 and 1963.
So Jack gets around a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about to get bad.
Okay.
So he has a cocaine habit at this point.
Hell yeah.
And he's stealing, he's still thieving, but he's getting sloppy and aggravated. So he's getting a little bit more aggressive because he's aggravated.
Because he's aggravated.
Because he's on this cocaine and, you know, he's not getting enough of it, so.
Does cocaine make you aggravated?
If you're not getting your fix, oh. I feel like, and you're addicted to it.
I read a study that said that cocaine isn't addictive. I don't know how true that is. I mean, I don't do drugs.
I feel like a lot of stories I do and cocaine's involved, it always gets weird real fucking quick. Okay, so things are about to get a little dark normally than they would on a slice. I mean, yeah, on a heist. But so November 1967, Terry Ray Frank is 23 and Anna Leigh Mon is 21. And they're both female secretaries at the Los Angeles brokerage firm Ruth Jackson and Gray. With the help of Murphy and a guy named Jack Griffin, the two women steal $500,000 worth of stock, which would be $4 million today.
That's a popular number, $4 million.
Terry and Anna Leigh, I don't know if I'm saying her name right, quit the firm and moved to Florida and move in with Murphy.
Oh, yeah, because they got, you know, a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Why not quit their job?
So, on December 8th, 1967, Terry and Anna Leigh get on a boat with Murphy and Jack in Whiskey Creek, South Florida Intercoastal Waterways. Terry demands more money for the heist, and if she didn't get it, she would come clean to the authorities.
Well, that was stupid.
Okay. So, Terry and Anna Leigh were murdered.
Okay, of course.
I have done the research and I prepared myself. So, I have the graphic details of how they were murdered.
You tell me.
Do you want them?
I want them.
It does get graphic, so prepare yourself.
But just know, just prepare yourself.
Yes, it gets very graphic.
Because if you get graphic with me, Nora gets to get graphic next week.
I prepared, though. I had time to prepare.
Okay.
They were shot, bludgeoned, the skull was split open, wire was tied around their neck and connected to a concrete block, and then they were gutted like a deer so that the gas wouldn't cause them to rise to the top.
Right.
And then they were thrown into the water. Despite the effort, though, one body surfaced the same day and was found on December 8th.
So they didn't tie cinder blocks to their feet?
No, they did around their neck. They tied wire around their neck connected to a cinder block.
And the body still floated. Mm-hmm. That's why you put it to the feet.
Yeah. And so instead the same they day, put it to the they neck. Were found.
Dumb.
So it's pretty that's rough. Graphic.
Yeah. Those poor girls.
Yeah.
But they knew better.
So
you never get too greedy, especially when you're dealing with somebody who is apparently cutthroat.
Yeah. And cocaine habit.
I don't think that cocaine would make you. He was money hungry. That was very. They would call that a passionate kill because of how graphic it is. So he was literally passionate
about
the money.
We're gonna
about
actually come back to this murder a lot.
Okay.
It's gonna come back. Okay. So just remember how graphic it was. It's really gruesome. And that was December 8th of 1967. And at this time, he still has that, like, lovable surfer dude persona.
Oh, so he's still keeping up his... So he's, like, living a double life.
Yeah, he's keeping up that persona with the police and everything like that. Now, early 1968, Murphy and a crew tried to rob a Miami Beach socialite, Olive Woodford. They break into her house. Murphy is the lookout. He's outside. But they trigger the silent alarm. They threaten to pour boiling water on Olive's niece if she doesn't open the safe.
Okay.
Now, Murphy's outside and sees the cops coming. So he opens fire and jumps through a glass sliding door, which slices his face. And he was arrested along with the rest of the crew. But at that time, police didn't really see him as that much of a threat. And then his whole surf boy persona kind of dropped, and the police were like, oh, this guy's
seeing yet again graphic. another case as to they almost had him, but he wasn't such a threat, so we'll just let him go.
Yeah. And while in custody, it's not quite sure how this came about, how they connected it, But while he was in custody for the robbery of Olive's place, Murphy was connected to the murder of Terry Frank.
Just one of the girls?
This is where it's going to get confusing. So okay. Bear with me.
Baron.
Now, both girls were found at the same location and shot, stabbed, cut open.
Got it.
Like, all the same way.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. I couldn't figure out why. I tried to look it up. But they were only tried for Terry's murder. As of now, no one has ever went on trial for the murder of Anna Lee. I don't know why. I couldn't find a reason why. But only...
Maybe there was only
Terry's
evidence.
Murder. But they found them both in the same place and murdered the exact same way.
Were they both murdered the exact same way? Wait, well, okay.
But Terry's was more gruesome than Anna Lee. Okay. Like, she was... busted, and bludgeoned so bad that her skull was split open. But they were both still tied around the neck.
I wonder if hers is the body that floated to the top.
It didn't say which one.
It probably was.
But, so I don't know why, but no one has went on trial for the murder of Anna Lee.
So her case is still technically open?
Yes. So, Murphy's lawyer, tried to declare Murphy insane, but the judge found him fit to stand trial.
Right. There's nothing insane about that.
It's going to get weirder.
Okay. I like weird.
So, in March 1st of 1969, jury convicts Murph of first-degree murder of Terry Frank and gets a life sentence. Jack Griffith gets second-degree murder, 45 years. Now, during the trial, they each try to be like, well, he's the one that killed him. No,
place
he did it. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then, after the trial and everything... Murphy tries to say that there was a third person there that did the murders, but none of the witnesses could corroborate that they saw five people. They only saw four people on that boat.
Right.
The two women and the two men. So that never became anything. But he never brought it up in trial. He brought it up afterwards.
Right. He would wait till the trial was over and be like, hey, I need to talk to my lawyer.
We're going to talk back to that, too.
Gotcha.
So, the jury were local people, of course, because this was in Florida. This is where he was Murph the Surf. Everyone knew him. He was like a local celebrity, like a generic Frank Sinatra. So, the jury asked the judge to take the electric chair off the table, and which the judge does, so there's no death sentence. Like, that's completely off the table. So, these women were brutally murdered.
But he's still But is he still serving? He's still serving death row, though, right? Or he's still serving life in prison, right?
Things get weirder.
Oh, okay.
So he's in the Florida State Prison in Stark. In the beginning, he starts running a gambling ring, and he's smuggling in drugs. He spends a lot of time in isolation for starting fights. So he's not adjusting.
So he's not
being in prison.
We're not the Golden.
No,
the Golden.
Like he's just
prison.
Got rid of that persona completely.
Gotcha.
And has just dived right into the bad boy.
He's being his true self now.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Now, along the way, he finds religion.
Oh,
and
okay.
And starts behaving and starts getting sober while in jail. And he got support from hundreds of people.
Tell me they're fixing to pardon him.
While in jail, his sons... from the first marriage, actually come up and see him, and he starts to reconnect with his family.
Oh, that's good, right? No.
He
still killed somebody.
He also is doing interviews for news, and he ends up meeting a woman who works for a local news named Kitten.
Oh, Miss Kitty.
And they eventually get married.
Oh, shit.
Now,
do better,
also,
people. Make better decisions.
After serving 19 years... for the brutal murder
this son bitch
of
gets
Terry,
pardoned.
He is released on parole.
How you get released on parole if you're doing life in jail?
He is fucking released on lifetime parole. After 19 years.
It pays to know people.
For the brutal murder of Terry. Like, this wasn't just like she was shot. No. Like, brutal.
You got some bitches doing life in jail for some stupid ass shit, like, I don't know, dumb shit.
This one was kind of rough for me.
This guy gets out, and he's literally bludgeoned
like,
somebody
to death. When I started researching this about the heist, I was like, oh, this is going to be so cool. Like, a surfer board pours off a heist, and then you get to this, and I'm like, holy fuck. But he was ordered to pay $2,500 to Terry's family.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And they refused, and they were fucking pissed that he was
a free man. Well, yeah, because he's out. I mean, their daughter's dead, but that's bullshit.
Yeah, he even remarries.
Yeah, and you know what? To her, do better. Make better decisions. We do not idolize people who kill people.
When I look this dude up, the murders are, like, barely there. Which, this is one of the reasons when he gets out of jail, he tries to say there's a third person. Because he doesn't want to be associated with the murders.
He doesn't want to be labeled as a murderer.
Yeah. But he's mostly known for that heist. Like, the murders are put on the back burner when it comes to his story.
But do you know that there are literal women that idolize people? Like Ted Bundy was idolized. Like, women drop their drawers for him.
I don't get it.
Your guess is as good as mine. I guess it's that bad boy syndrome.
Like
that documentary that I watched about the Night Stalker. Women were sending naked pictures to him in jail. Motherfucker, you could have died. It could have been you.
This one was rough for me.
And this man remarries. This man should have never gotten out of jail.
Yeah. I also it just baffles me that no one was ever put on trial.
For the murder
of Anna Lee, which I don't even know if I'm saying her name right. But I just don't understand how you can find two bodies in the same location that were seen alive with these two men the last time, and yet you're only going to try them for one. Anyway.
Mind baffled.
After prison, he visits prisons and jail all over the United States as part of his prison ministry.
Okay, so you're telling me that a convicted murderer
mm-hmm.
is able to go into another facility,
mm-hmm.
like a prison,
mm-hmm.
and speak on his ministry.
Yep.
That's illegal.
Oh, just hold okay. on, girl. We ain't done yet. In 2000, after visiting 1,200 prisons, the Florida Parole Board terminated his life parole.
So he's just out free, period.
Yep.
So literally pardoned.
Yep. Yeah. This one was rough for me. In August 2011, Murph served as the VP of International Networks for Prison Ministries.
Oh, so now we're just going to give him
hold
awards.
Hold up. It gets better. He also appears as a guest on several Christian television shows, radio programs, and even also appears on CNN Larry King.
You know, they say, I read a book, can't remember who it was by, but they say that Jeffrey Dahmer went to heaven. I don't understand how that happens because, I mean, this son of a bitch was eating people. Indulging in zombieism. I mean, just wanted the perfect lover. But this person we're talking about Jack. Jack got pardoned, found himself, became a Christian, a born-again Christian, which is fine. That's fine. I'm a Christian, whatever. But that does not pardon you from getting away with murder. And he got away with murder.
It was how brutal they were. They cut these women open so that they could not float to the top. Like, they were thinking about how to get away with it.
Oh, that was premeditated anyway. It had to have been. It wasn't because she asked for more money. It was because they were done dealing with
them. I
mean,
she wasn't just shot. She was shot. She was bludgeoned. She had a wire tied around her neck. And then she was gutted like a deer.
Yeah, that was planned.
That's gruesome.
And then she was thrown in
the water.
In the water.
And they say when she was thrown in the water, or when they were, you know, gotten her, that she was still alive.
So she felt everything.
Yeah.
See? Some bitch. Didn't get cancer. He suffered. No, he probably just died of old age.
And then he gets out and does all these television things and probably makes money. And he's reconnected with his family and his grandkids. It's ridiculous. This one kind of makes me really mad. Made me really mad. So, in September 12th of 2020, Murphy died in Florida of heart and organ failure. He was 83 years old.
Well, I mean, I guess he did not just die of old age then.
But he only spent 19 years in prison.
For the brutal murder of somebody.
Less time. Because Terry only spent 4 extra years on life. I mean,
you have drug dealers that do life.
Because she was only 24 when he died. And he didn't even spend the amount of time that she was alive in prison to make up for it. Like, you can't make up for it. But ridiculous. But if you Google him, it's the heist that comes up. The jewelry heist that comes up. And the movie that
not
he did
the murders.
About. Not, you had to like dig. I had to go to several different articles to get the murders connected and get information about them. Because it was saying he was sentenced to 3 years, but then the murders happened 2 years when he got sentenced. I was like, how the fuck does that timeline work? But he only served 3. He only served 2 of those 3 years.
And then you got a girl that was killed that nobody even investigated on.
I tried to look up why, and I could not look up why. And I couldn't even find a lot of information on these girls. There's not even a lot of information on them. Couldn't even find information on him. But yeah, when he got out of prison, he tried to say there was a third person there and that he didn't do the murders. And which that doesn't sound like a man that found God. He would be telling the truth.
Right.
So I think it was just a big old con to get out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So this one was rough.
I liked this one. I find it interesting. I find the psyche of people who murder and do crime interesting, not the death of people. Do better, people.
It's just, how do you
idolize real heroes, people?
How do you go from pulling off a heist of opportunity, because they didn't plan it, they just saw that the security was low, to murdering
the guy that went to jail with him? Did he get out? Do you know?
I didn't look into it. I think he may have actually died in prison.
See, that's bullshit.
I think. I can pause it.
They both, and look no, up. It's okay. They both should have gotten the same sentence.
Yeah, the other dude either didn't life even without get parole. Life.
They both should have gotten life without parole. Because it's very hard to get the death sentence.
I can't even believe they got taken off the table.
Well, I shouldn't say it's hard to get the death sentence. Most judges won't hand a death sentence because it costs so much. There are people that die on death row waiting to be death, you know, to be lethal injection or whatever, because they wait so long. So that's probably why it wasn't even on the table for them.
I still can't get over the fact that you have 4 kids in Kentucky steal a book and they get 7 years. You have a guy that steals moon rocks and get 8 years. This dude murdered a woman brutally, gets life, and only serves 19 fucking years.
That's the American justice system for you.
That is bullshit. And then he gets to have a nice happy life afterwards.
Did it say if he was like pardoned by like the president or?
No, I didn't. I had to go to several different articles to piece everything together.
Gotcha. Because a lot of times the president's just like, we'll pardon him.
Because,
you know, they do a bunch of shit like that before they leave office. Not just the president, but, like, governors will, and
he did a good job distancing himself from the Whiskey Creek murders.
Yeah.
Which is what they were called, the Whiskey Creek murders. But I just,
but he still did it. It's still bullshit.
And he still had a good life afterwards. I mean, what the,
you try not to say too much because you know he's got family out there, but do better, people.
I just don't understand. I mean,
that's what happens when you have a shit ton of charisma inside of you.
That's what it was. He was a smooth talking son of a bitch.
Yeah. Who claimed he found Jesus.
Ugh. It just, 19 years. for the murders. But, okay.
No, for the murder. Just one
murder. Oh, yeah, because they didn't even try anybody for Annalise's murder, which I don't even know if I'm saying her name right. Sorry if I'm not. I'm probably not. But, yeah, so.
Well, DNA has come a long way. So they could I mean, I know this is probably a cold case, but they could reopen it because nobody was ever trialed for it. So it's not double jeopardy. Even though he's dead, I mean, it would put that family peace of mind.
Maybe, but the Terry's family, the Frank family, were just devastated when this dude.
That's like a smack in the face.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, you know what? We gave a little bit of shit about you, so we gave him 19 years. But
yeah.
Because he's a born again Christian.
And a local celebrity.
We are going to, we're going to let him go. Sorry. Here's $1,200.
Let's just, fingers crossed, hope you don't murder anybody else.
Don't know what you're going to do with $1,200, but here's $1,200. It doesn't bring your daughter back, but here's $1,200.
Oh, they wouldn't even take it.
I wouldn't take it.
They did not.
I would have spit in somebody's face. And I probably would have made sure there was hot sauce in my mouth when I spit in somebody's face.
So, let's see. He was 30 when he went to jail and served 19 years. So, he got out when he was, what, 49? 50-ish?
Probably 50.
And then he lived to his 83. So, he had another, what, 33 years outside of...
Just got to do whatever he wanted to.
That blows my mind. But, yeah.
So, what year did he die in?
He actually died last September, 2020.
It's bullshit.
Yeah. He died September 12th.
He probably would have still said it. Like, even if he was handed the death penalty, he still would have sat on death row for years. Years. But the fact that he got to eat at a fucking table with normal people. The fact that he got to run, skip, and jump and play with his grandchildren.
And then he's on these Christian television programs. What?
That's sus. That's so sus.
And, you know, he died surrounded by his sons, his grandkids, and his wife, Kitty. Kitten. Sorry, kitten. But, yeah. So, that was our heist. Our actual first heist and slice. Which I couldn't split it up to where Nora could do it because they did a heist that was the slice.
I mean, I guess I could go into it. But I don't really want to. I mean, that's all there is to that, probably.
Yeah, I had a hard time finding, like, the details.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, if he tried to distance himself from it, then I'm sure that there's not much to find.
There's really not. It was hard. It's mostly that diamond theft in 1964 that comes up, and that they made a movie about. But, yeah. So, that was the heist.
Murph the Smurf.
Not Smurf.
Murph that I killed somebody brutally and got away with it. Served 19 years. No big deal, right?
Blows my mind.
Anyway, next week is a listener request.
Yes, which I already know a little bit about it, so I know it's going to be dark too.
Sometimes we like dark. I mean, I like dark sometimes, but if there's children involved, it's bad.
I will try to make my next heist more fun, like the Loomis Fargo one.
Heists are easier to be fun with.
Yeah.
Slices, but people die.
I didn't know this one was a murder thing until I was already halfway through the research, and I was like, crap, I don't want to find another person. So, but I will make the next one more fun.
This one was interesting.
It was interesting. It's a lot of what the fuck moments.
It pisses you off.
Yeah. Lots of what the fuck moments. But... Yeah, so that's Heist and Slice. We do have Instagram.
Heist and Slice Podcast.
Yep, we have a Facebook.
And Gmail, spelled the same way it is here, Heist and Slice.
Yep.
Send us requests.
Let us comments, know what you think.
Feedback, pets.
Or if you have any suggestions on how to make it better.
Yeah, Shelby wants to see your pets.
Yeah, that too.
Although I haven't posted on Instagram for a while, so I really need to get on that.
Yeah, I don't think you put the last one on Facebook either.
I didn't. No, you did.
No, I put the last one up. I put Cahill up. I didn't put the slice up.
It's not Cahill.
Oh, no. Calhill. Crap. Ken's going to be so disappointed. I thought it was Cahill. I don't know.
Pretty sure it's like Cahill. You know what? We're from the sticks.
I also have a lazy tongue, too.
I have never heard somebody say they have a lazy tongue.
Yeah, I had to go to speech therapy for it.
Is that really a thing? Yeah. Lazy tongue?
Yeah.
Or is it just where you just don't want to talk?
No, it's where I didn't develop right when I was little. Like, I didn't talk a lot when I was little, so my R's didn't develop. Like, my tongue didn't develop right to do the R's.
You learned something
every
day.
Yeah, I had to go to speech therapy.
Squeal. I miss that.
For a long time, because my 7th grade history teacher pointed out to the whole class that I had a speech impediment.
7th grade.
Then he felt bad and told the whole class.
Was that Moss?
I was going to speech therapy.
Was that Moss?
No, it was Selby.
Oh, Mr. Selby. He had a crush on my aunt.
Fuck you, Mr. Selby. Fuck you.
You were kind of a dick. Sorry, but you were...
Fuck you.
I never got away with anything in his class. He would always call my aunt and be like, Lynn, Nora didn't turn in this assignment.
Fuck you. I got teased all through high school.
You know what, though? Now you talk perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Let's just go over all the mispronounced words I do on the podcast.
But you don't say squeal anymore instead of squirrel.
No.
I mean, we all say things that are incorrect all the time. Like, I can't say Ohio without saying Ohio. You
can't say eggs without saying eggs.
Right. It's eggs instead of eggs.
I pronounce it
eggs. Yeah, I do too. Like A-G-G-S instead of E-G-G-S. And iron. Can you say iron? I don't know.
No,
nobody
I cannot.
Can say iron.
I cannot.
I-R-O-N. Iron. Iron.
There's actually names I can't pronounce.
What about
Library.
Library.
What's it? Wow. Am I saying that wrong?
I don't know. Are you?
Say it.
What?
Library.
Library.
Oh, I am saying it wrong.
No, I think I'm saying it wrong.
It's library.
It is me.
Say
library.
Library.
Yep.
Library.
That's Ashton. She's over there on the couch.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, guys, have a good day, night, wherever you are. Make better choices, people.
All right. Well, see you next time. Bye!